This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Srida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. Today, I'm joined by
Arvind Yuvaraj.
I've had the pleasure, a double bonus of actually meeting him from afar yesterday. So it's good to see you again, Arv.
Good to see you too, Frida.
And nice to be talking to you today. What are we asking today, Arvind?
So over on Twitter, we're asking you, will you be taking advantage of the Singapore-Malaysia airport vaccinated travel lane once it's open? Why or why not? Mm-hmm. Our options on Twitter are yes for work, yes for leisure, no preferred driving, and no not traveling at all.
All right. So we'll look at the poll results later. We're asking this question because with air travel to be reinstated at the end of the month between Singapore and Johor, we take a look at how that will work, hopes for more links with Sarawak and Penang in the future, and how business travellers can benefit from this. I'm interested in the Sarawak bit. And of course, you can also let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. So it was recently announced that a vaccinated travel lane, VTL, will be launched between Singapore Changi Airport and Kuala Lumpur International Airport from November 29 onwards. Under the VTL program, travellers will only be required to undergo COVID-19 tests instead of serving quarantine or stay-home notices upon arrival. Dato' Mohamad Izhar Ahmad, the Johor Investment Cooperative's Entrepreneurship Development Human Resources Committee chairman, said he was hopeful that the VTL signified the start to the reopening of the land border between both countries. He added that the state government would be preparing to welcome investors to Johor once borders fully reopen through the Business Travel Centre, BTC, as announced in the Federal Budget 2022. So under Budget 2022, Johor has allocated 10 million ringgit to build the BTC located at the second link crossing, but the state government also wants a second BTC at the causeway. Currently, the BTC is located at KLIA and can attract about 100 investors, but at the causeway, which is the busiest land crossing in the world, it could possibly attract thousands, said the Larkin Assemblyman.
Yeah, and Mohamad Izzah also pointed out that the cost of having one BTC is between 17 to 18 million ringgit. He also said that, however, the state government will be requesting for more funds from the federal government, and added that the BTC is expected to be completed by the first quarter of next year. And then in a joint statement, the prime ministers of both Malaysia and Singapore said that the decision to launch the VTL was because of the progress in vaccinating their citizens and in managing the pandemic, and they both agreed that it was timely to resume cross-border travel between both countries in a safe manner. They also recognized that the pandemic has disrupted people-to-people connections on both sides, and also separated families for many, many months. Yeah, nearly 2 years now.
Yeah, I know. And there's so many of them, right? The Singapore-Malaysia commute, right, with families on that side. Now, the Sarawak government is also in the midst of establishing a travel lane between the state and Singapore, with State Tourism, Arts and Culture Minister Dato' Sri Abdul Karim Rahman Hamza. He said, we are still working in the travel lane between Sarawak and Singapore. We'll make the announcement once we've secured or established the lane. And Abdul Karim said his ministry's permanent secretary, He Chang Ki, is already engaged in setting up the travel lane and hopes it will come to fruition soon.
So also on our side, the Penang state government hopes the federal government will consider including Penang International Airport, or PIA, in the vaccinated travel lane VTL between Malaysia and Singapore, so that that benefits the country's manufacturing landscape. So Yeo Soon Hin, who's the State Tourism and Creative Economy Committee chairman, said that the Penang airport's inclusion in the Malaysia-Singapore VTL would be a strong anchor to attract more air traffic from Singapore. He added that this will be a booster for Malaysia's economy, especially for Penang, Kedah, Perlis and Perak, since Penang is a manufacturing hub which calls itself the Silicon Valley of the East. Mm. Therefore, introducing VTL will also see benefits to our manufacturing landscape, which includes a bunch of multinational companies under their belt. He underlined this by saying that the international air route between Changi International Airport and PIA, or the Penang Airport, recorded 107 flights per week during pre-pandemic days in November 2019, which he believes is a good figure that should be considered by the government.
Therefore, Yeo said launching VTL in the two cities concurrently could double the pace of economic recovery and reboot battered industries, particularly the services sector, which comprises F&B, hotels and tourism operators, the usual suspects. He said putting PIA in the VTL list will benefit Penang as well as other neighbouring states, which are also dependent on PIA as the only international airport to for traffic and business opportunities. On public safety and industry preparedness, Yeo noted that Penang had achieved a 99% vaccination rate for its adult population, while the total population inoculation level stood at 83.1% as of November 9. And before the pandemic, the one-hour flight between Singapore and KL was one of the busiest international air routes in the world, with 5.56 million seats available, according to travel data firm OAG. It ranked just behind flights between Hong Kong and Taipei, Taiwan. Many Malaysians and Singaporeans would commute to and from the two countries via the bridge, some taking daily trips for work and school, making the land crossing one of the busiest in the world.
Yeah, so while many Malaysians in Singapore were happy when they heard the news of the quarantine-free air travel program, some also said that they are waiting for the reopening of land borders because of cost and convenience factors. The main factor here is for people living in Johor, like we mentioned before, and who want to visit family and relatives in Singapore who have been separated for nearly 2 years now. It would make more sense for them to drive into Singapore directly instead of making a trip to KL, like flying to KL or coming to KL and then flying all the way back into Singapore. So practically,
the sampan will be faster.
Yeah, it's like a whole roundabout. So like practically and financially, opening the land border is just a better option for them. And according to Singapore's Business Times, businesses have also been affected by the cross-border travel restrictions and are hoping for further easing of travel rules that will help with supply chains, logistics and worker movements. Kurt Wee, the president of the Association of Small and Medium Enterprises, said that the air link will be welcome, but the land link is in dire need by the business community.
Sorry, regarding why the land link isn't open yet, the Malaysian High Commissioner to Singapore, Dr. Asfar Mohamed Mustafa, said the relevant agencies in Malaysia and Singapore were ironing out related issues such as health, testing regimes and cross-border processes. These are minor issues I'm sure will be sorted out soon, he said, adding that reopening the land border was a bit more complex than the VTL. He cautioned it would not be like pre-COVID-19 levels when almost 200,000 to 300,000 people travelled between the two countries daily. For a start, we'll need to have a control opening. That means limiting the number of daily commuters. He added that unlike the other cross-border travel schemes introduced during the COVID-19 pandemic, such as the periodic commuting arrangement PCA and the reciprocal green lane, the land VTL will be attractive as it didn't require a quarantine on both sides. So, you know, like it's so we're so interlinked with Singapore, right, in terms of business. I know kids go to school there as well. So, you know, it's and vice versa, right, working and all that. So I can understand that. I think it should be open slowly, slowly. Maybe look at sectors, look at, I don't know, different, you know, just by segments and just sort of, you know, ironing out anything as it goes, right?
Yeah. Will you be taking advantage of this, Frida? Like to go there?
No. Singapore is one of those places where, unless it's work related, I have friends there, but it's work related. It's just too expensive.
I was thinking, go ahead. No, I was thinking like every year I do the, there's a conference there that I love to go for the travel, web in travel conference. And the last couple of years I haven't been able to go. This year's, I've missed this year's hybrid event, but I was just thinking that with this pass, hopefully if they have one soon. So that would be, I guess for work purposes and for business reasons, it would make sense to travel into Singapore. And that's something that's always fun to look forward to every year.
Right. So yeah, for work reasons, right? I mean, like Singapore is so similar to Malaysia in terms of culture and all that. So with exchange rate, right, I'd rather take the money and go somewhere elsewhere, right, for that perspective. So unless I'm going to Singapore and earning Sing dollars, right, you know, but we're very much interlinked in terms of business and dependence. And, you know, like people who have not seen their family for ages, right? And so looking forward to it. And at least this is, you know, it's giving me hope that it's opening up. right? You know, the things of people are flying slowly but surely. And I'm very excited about, you know, the Sarawak side as well. So we're asking this question. What's the question,
Arvind? We are asking you, will you be taking advantage of the Singapore-Malaysia Airport Vaccinated Travel Lane once it's open? Why or why not? The options we have for you on Twitter are yes for work, yes for leisure, no preferred driving, and no not travelling.
All right, we'll talk more about this in just a moment. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Bloggers for Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Frida Liu together with Arvind Yuvaraj. Today, what are we asking, Arv? Ooh, I can't hear you.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We're asking you over on Twitter, will you be taking advantage of the Singapore-Malaysia Airport Vaccinated Travel Lane once it's open? Why or why not? Options over on Twitter are yes for work, yes for leisure, no preferred driving, and no not traveling.
Right.
At the moment, the votes are at 55.8% for no not traveling, 23.4% for yes for leisure, 10.4% for no preferred driving, and another 10.4% for yes for work.
Right. Okay. So I'm in the majority.
Yeah. No, not traveling.
Not traveling there. We had a very cute comment here from Anwar Juba Boy. He says, you don't get it. Singapore wants to cut its dependence on Malaysian labour. Hence, only selected VIPs are allowed in. Ah, Anwar.
I see.
Yes. Okay. Now, we've got a couple of experts here to talk about this. For a look at how businesses could be impacted by this regained travel link, we have business travel management platform True Trips founder and managing director Hugh Batley and Jamie O'Dwyer, head of product for True Trip. And why are you doing this to me? True Trip, these fellas are on the line. So we'll start with Jamie first. Jamie, how has the inability to travel impacted the Southeast Asian business community over the past 2 years?
I think it's fair to say that the loss of travel has had a massive impact on businesses across the globe, and Asia is no different. There's been an unprecedented amount of change in such a short period of time, and you'd be hard-pressed to find a business that has not been affected in some way, particularly now that we're seeing the knock-on effects to supply chain management and inflation. I think first and foremost, the switch to remote working forced a huge change across businesses, and how they were able to react to that, I think, largely depended on the sector that they were working in. Those working in the more modern tech industries, like TrueChip, I think we would say we found the switch relatively easy to manage. But those, of course, working in the manufacturing industry that are reliant upon people being physically present in the place of work would have been hugely impacted by this. I think on a positive side, it's fair to say that technology has really risen to the challenge to meet the new demands of remote working. And this has really allowed many businesses to mitigate the loss of travel by replacing face-to-face meetings with video calls. But ultimately, you know, what we hear anecdotally and we can see is that it's harder to close sales without personal contact. And my experience tells me that personal contact is even more important in the Asian working community. So, you know, of course, you know, people are recording less sales.
Right. So which sectors benefit the most from business travel and why?
As I said previously, I don't think there's been a single industry that has escaped the impacts of the loss of travel. But of course, there are those that will have felt the effects more keenly than others. It's probably self-evident, but speaking from personal experience, those of us in the travel industry have had a really tough time over the last couple of years. I think airlines in particular have really suffered, and I think we've been lucky not to see more go under. And likewise, those in the hotel and hospitality sectors have been equally badly affected. Looking outside of travel, those in the manufacturing industries haven't been able to get the labor into the factories that they need. And we're now starting to see the knock-on effect of that on the supply chain suffering across the globe. But for me, ultimately, it's small businesses that have been the most impacted. They're the ones that typically have smaller cash reserves. And from our experience, they're the ones that are more reliant upon personal connections to win business. So that's why at True Trip, we've made it our priority to help get small business traveling again and being successful.
Right. Thanks, Jamie. I believe Hugh will be taking the questions from here. So, Hugh, do you think Malaysia is ready to resume international travel again, even if it's just across the causeway?
I think this is a personal question, not in terms of being private, but in that it will really depend on individuals, their situation and their needs. For us, it's always important in this situation to remember those impacted by COVID-19 in a negative sense. I mean, there's millions that have been impacted by the deaths and the job losses. And that's always really important to remember. So whether we are ready to resume international travel again probably really depends. Now, are there good reasons to stop those who are ready? We, as a business travel management company, we don't think so. I think firstly, the process is very much in control. The vaccinated travel lanes that have already been set up have demonstrated their effectiveness in minimizing additional COVID cases in each of the countries. I think it's well documented that travel brings so much value to companies, with well-published concerns around collaboration being harder and projects taking longer. The idea of an all-remote or remaining as a remote team is starting to become a lot less appealing. It's clear without any face-to-face, it's hard to close complex deals, it's harder to manage complex issues, and it's harder to build relationships. Also, on the team perspective, it's just worth noting that according to McKinsey, nearly half of employees surveyed say they're feeling symptoms of being burnt out. It's just not a sustainable way for us to work. And we think most leaders really want to get out there and get reconnected to their teams around the world. And I think lastly, travel brings great value to people. I think Brian Chesky of Airbnb recently said that he believes we're on the verge of a travel revolution. And as much as all virtual work doesn't work for most, a hybrid does. And with hybrid, a whole new world of options start opening up. I personally believe when travel done well makes people stronger, wiser, and happier, whether that's for business or for leisure. And right now, I think we could all do with some of that.
Right. So, Hugh, any thoughts on the opening of only the air link between Malaysia and Singapore and not the land link?
I think the opening of the vaccinated travel lane in air only is more than likely a short-term thing. It's a confidence builder as each country learns to live with COVID and understands what the travel pattern is going to mean to their systems and their support solutions that they have got in place. Yeah, it's just worth remembering air versus land is just totally different levels of magnitudes and complexity. Over 700,000 people were using land border every day. And I don't think the two countries are quite ready to manage that or ready to let it just be what it is. So it will come through. And for that, we have no doubt.
Right. You know, Hugh, what are the benefits of business travel as opposed to virtual events or teleconferencing?
Yeah, I've heard this form of question before. I know I can listen to Queen's 1986 gig at Wembley for Live Aid, and I can even watch a great recreation of that gig in the film Bohemian Rhapsody. But I know when I talk to people who were actually there, for them, it was an entirely different experience. When people talk about virtual versus real life, I think about these parallels we see in music. You know, Spotify is fine a lot of the time, but it's not really the same as being there. We can go into specific stats about how sales are easier or the positive impact to collaboration, creativity, quality, or even retention. But at the base level, real life meetings have been shown to have a far greater chemical reaction in the brain. And that helps make that connection more human and ultimately more successful. I don't think really there is a question around whether business travel has an impact. I think the real question is how do you ensure your business travel has the desired impact you need? And that's where TrueTrip comes in to make sure that that happens.
Okay, so what could be some potential factors for hesitation or concern or caution when it comes to approaching post-pandemic business travel?
In our conversation with users, the top concerns set all evolve around risk, or that what ifs, you know, what if my COVID test is positive? What if the test isn't accepted by the airline or immigration? What if? And there's a long list behind that, but it's always about this uncertainty and that ambiguity and that risk. And solving for that or helping for that is really what TrueTrip's been working on for the past 2 years. This is literally what we've been trying to solve for. You know, we've built out solutions that help individuals assess whether they're really ready to make the trip. Is their passport up to date and ready? Do they have the appropriate visas? Do they have the appropriate health requirements? And that includes COVID. Is the border open? All of those things, we assess every single booking to make sure that's in place in a, you know, fully automated, formal way, which is easily accessible to every single user. And our booking service isn't just for flights. You can book your tests with us. We have travel kits that you can buy that offer you sort of the right masks, the sanitizer, and all the things you need to, you know, keep yourself as safe as possible on your travels. We've made everything flexible with our TrueFlex product, which means that, you know, the cost of making your whole booking cancelable for any reason 24 hours before you fly is always going to be, you know, now an option. We have travel risk intelligence data provided directly to you within our interface, and above all, you know, we make sure the companies have the visibility and the controls they need to make sure that their people can travel safely. And by having all of these things under one roof, you take away huge liability away from yourself in getting those things right and getting those to work together.
Right. You know, Hugh, what should companies do to ensure that business traveling is as safe and smooth as possible?
This situation, it's a complex and it's a evolving situation. And I acknowledge, given my position, you may expect me to say this, but I don't think now is the right time for a DIY travel solution. There are many solutions out there that can help you and bring value to the table right now. And I think it's worth considering that for every trip you make, you know, companies like us making hundreds, if not thousands, of similar trips. And with that comes experience and answers. The right partners are those who aren't just going to stop at the booking, but really are looking after the whole life cycle of the trip and going to look after the traveler, you know, until they return to their home. On top of that, I think businesses need to be clearly articulating their policies, their plans, and the protections that they offer. So when it does come to traveling, your team are focused on the impact of what they can do versus the what ifs that we spoke about earlier.
Okay. Last question, Hugh. What can the hospitality and travel sectors do to accommodate business travelers as safely as possible?
Most people traveling are worried about the things they don't know about or don't understand. The rules in each country, both for entry, exit, and even whilst you are there, are dramatically different and changing frequently. Misinformation, even though the right intent might be there, can further damage confidence and ultimately safety. So I think one of the things that, or, you know, the sector can do as a whole right now is to keep those who are looking or actively traveling well informed. This is why we run COVID Entry Check or covidentrycheck.com, is to capture and share this information in a consistent way. Of course, on top of that, I think the great things that they've, you know, been getting ready to do and are very well along with now around sanitization, social distancing, and so on. I think all of these things together, you know, will keep business travelers safe. Of course, it's on business travelers themselves, you know, to protect themselves and others, wearing masks, socially distance, vaccinations, all of those things are really important. And I think all of those together, I think, you know, business travel will quickly get back to the expected safety standards it has seen in the past.
Right. Thanks, gentlemen. That was Hugh Batley together with Jamie O'Dwyer from True Trip. And of course, we're talking about the Singapore-Malaysia vaccinated travel lane. There is a poll happening. Do let us know what you think. And that's at BFM Radio, also over on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We'll be talking a little bit about Indonesia after this. So stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Malaysia, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. Good afternoon. Frida Liu together with Arvind Yuvaraj. Today we're asking this question.
We're asking you, will you be taking advantage of the Singapore-Malaysia airport vaccinated travel lane once it's open? Why or why not? Our options over on Twitter are yes for work, yes for leisure, no preferred driving, and no not traveling.
All right. Okay, so that's Singapore. We've talked a lot about it, but let's move on to Indonesia. So Malaysia and Indonesia also plan to allow fully vaccinated travellers to fly between the two nations just days after a similar agreement was struck with one of the world's busiest air routes, which is, of course, Singapore. The Southeast Asian neighbours may start a vaccinated travel lanes from KL International Airport to Jakarta and Bali. Okay. According to a joint briefing by Malaysia Prime Minister Ismail Sabri Yaakob and Indonesia's President Joko Widodo on Wednesday, the two countries aim to finalise and implement the plan early next year. He said reopening borders safely is important in balancing between the need to open up and revive the economy and take care of the safety and control aspects of public health. Ismail said in a statement after the briefing, the arrangement will prioritise fully vaccinated people travelling for official business, medical or humanitarian reasons. Humanitarian. Yeah, I'm going to Bali for humanitarian reasons.
That's why Bali is there. Yeah, yeah. This initiative will mark Indonesia's first vaccinated travel lane and Malaysia's second as both the countries move to ease COVID-induced border curbs. Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin said on Twitter that Malaysia is in discussions with Brunei and Thailand to provide more quarantine-free travel options. And Malaysia and Indonesia still trail behind Singapore, which has opened travel lanes with several cities, mainly in Europe, North America, and Australia. And then, of course, there's Thailand, who recently ended quarantine for vaccinated visitors from more than 60 countries in what some people are calling the biggest reopening gamble in Asia.
Okay, so we're going to watch and learn from Thailand, right? What they're doing. So Indonesia accounted for the highest number of international tourists after Singapore to Malaysia in 2019, with about 3.62 million visitors, according to the Malaysian Tourism Board. Arrivals slumped to 711,723 in 2020. Indonesian tourists spent nearly 13 million ringgit in Malaysia in 2019, the biggest spenders after Singapore and China.
Oh, right? Wow.
So huge. About 3 million Malaysians travelled to Indonesia in 2019, the largest group according to the Statistics Office. The number dwindled to 980,000 last year as borders closed and travel virtually ceased. And you know, with borders closed, there's still 980,000.
So that's a huge number.
So let's hope for, you know, news and, you know, as we watch other countries slowly opening up, what we can learn from them, and so that we don't make those mistakes. Hopefully, right? And yes, yeah. Bali for humanitarian reasons.
I mean, I know we're not out of the pandemic yet, but I'm just so happy knowing that borders are opening, countries are welcoming like tourists again. Like, just the word tourism just makes me so happy.
Right. Okay, here's a comment from someone who wants to be anonymous. She said, agreed with Frida that with the rate of exchange to Singapore, I prefer to travel to a country with temperate climate or places with more exotic attractions. Singapore has only cleanliness to offer, still prefer Malaysian for the wide range of culinary attraction. Went on to have something else about Singapore, but which I will not go on. What's the poll saying, Arv?
Yeah, so over on Twitter, the poll is at, so we asked you, will you be taking advantage of the Singapore-Malaysia airport vaccinated travel lane once it's open? 55.6% voted for no, non-traveling. 24.7% voted for yes, for leisure. And 9.9% each for no preferred driving and yes for work. And then we have a tweet from Muna Arafat who says that though Singapore is my kampung, I'm not traveling just yet, nor have I gone back to my other kampung in Malacca. Probably when land travel is open, I'll head south to both.
Right. Well, I'm just happy that I can actually go back to Sarawak. So I'm hoping to make that trip home soon. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been talking about the Singapore-Malaysia vaccinated travel lane. Thanks for being with us and, you know, chiming in with your thoughts. You've been listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes together with Frida Liu and Arvind Yuvaraj. And we'll be back for more tomorrow. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.